But I wonder, as Christians, how often do we walk around making choices that people look at us that are not Christians and they're like, really? Seriously? And this whole series that we're going to talk about is that very thing. It's putting the practical application of God's word into play. Instead of us just knowing the word, instead of hearing the word, it's actually us doing what the word of God says. So I hope that this series challenges you. I want to give you a little brief history on this book, Proverbs. It was written by Solomon, which we know was David, King David's son. Bathsheba was his mother. And if we are going to study the book of Proverbs, I think we have to go back to 1 Kings. We have to go back to 1 Kings. So let's go there. So open your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 through 14. And I want to read it for you. It says this: Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the local place of worship. The most important of these places of worship was at Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed great faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am a little child who doesn't know his way around." I want you to highlight that in your Bible. "I am a little child who doesn't know his way around." Verse 8, "And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. Underline that, wisdom. So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you have asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else had ever or will ever have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life." We got to start at the beginning. We got to start at the beginning. This was the beginning of how Solomon acquired the wisdom that he had. It was because in a moment where he could have asked God for anything, anything, God didn't put any restrictions or limitations on that. He said, "Ask me for anything." And he said, "God, I am a child. I do not know what I'm doing. I need your wisdom. I need your understanding." And in that moment, not only did God give him wisdom, but he gave him a whole bunch of other things on top of that. And I want to ask you three questions this morning. The first is this: who are you following? Who are you following? Solomon loved the Lord and followed the decrees of his father. He had a good example. We know David didn't make all perfect choices. We know he messed up and made some choices that he wasn't proud of, but he learned from his mistakes and he learned to be better. And he set a good example for his son. So much so that when Solomon was in the same position as his father, the one thing that he asked for was, "God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom, because I saw you be faithful to my dad and I saw what you did for him. And I know that you're gonna do that for me." He had a good example. I want to ask you today, who are you following? Maybe a better question for me to ask is, who is following you? Who's following you? If you're a parent, we have a different responsibility. We have a different responsibility because you're not just a parent for 18 years. you're a parent for the rest of your life. As long as God gave you those children, he called you to partner with them in life. And it's not just for a season, it's for their whole life. That means you walk beside them. Your discipline may look different in one season than it does in another season. You may not, as a grandmother, you may not be, you know, putting your kid over your lap and give them a spanking or whatever, or putting them in a timeout. But what you may be doing is talking to them. Hey, what was your thought on that? Hey, what was your decision on that? Whenever I correct my girls, my mom will pull me aside and be like, talk to me about what you're thinking here. And I'm like, Mom, seriously, literally you did this when we were growing up. You know, I learned from the best, Mom. You know what I mean? Sometimes we do that, right, as grandparents, where we're like, wait, I don't really like how harsh you're being right now. But this is what we're called to do. We're called to partner with our kids. So who are you following and who is following you? Are you setting an example so that when the time is right and that child is on their own, or those people are on their own, or those people that God has called you to, when they are on their own, are they being pointed to Christ? Are they constantly pursuing a relationship with Jesus, or are they wilding out? Are they wilding out? We have to ask ourselves that question. Who is following me? Am I setting an example that constantly points them to Christ? If you are a leader on your job, whether you realize it or not, your actions are either pointing people to Christ or they're not pointing people to Christ, period. That's it. And we can't take that for granted. We can't take our position in any circumstance, because whether positionally you're a leader, meaning that's your status, like you lead people, or just you're a part of a team, a part of a group, you're still called to lead differently in any capacity. If you follow Christ, you're called to lead. You are called to lead. The second question I want to ask you is, what are you asking for? What are you asking for? All of the things Solomon could have chose, and he chose wisdom out of all of those things. And there is a huge difference between wisdom and knowledge. And I want to read this to you. It says this: knowledge is the accumulation of raw facts, but wisdom is the ability to see people, events, and situations as God sees them. As God sees them. That means if I walk into a situation and I don't quite understand what's going on, I don't have to guess. I don't have to make a rash decision. I don't have to make a snap judgment. I can wait and get the mind of God and then make a decision. A lot of us live our lives in the apology place. In the apology place. I'm constantly saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have made that choice. Instead of saying, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to respond? And then respond in a way that gives life. Because he alone is the one that gives us the ability to be able to do that. I can't walk into a situation and give life. It has to come from his spirit that lives inside of me. If I walk into a room as a boss and all of a sudden I just start blasting all of my employees, am I pointing them in a direction that says when they find out I'm a Christian that they go, makes sense? Or do they go, really? Really? I wouldn't have guessed Christian on that one. Number three, do you have self-awareness? Do you have self-awareness? Self-awareness is this: a conscious knowledge of one's own character, feelings, motives, and desires. That's self-awareness. Can I rightly discern where I am emotionally in a situation? Or do I not recognize? Do I recognize my motives in a circumstance? This is a big one for me. I would say probably about 3 years ago, the Lord really started dealing with me about my motives. And honestly, it scared me, because I realized just how, and I think I've shared this with you guys, I realized how black my soul really is. How often I go into a situation and I want it to turn out the way I want it to turn out. So I'll manipulate a situation so that it turns out like I want. I will manipulate my kids' behavior. Well, if you really loved me, if you really love mommy, That's manipulation. That shows the motive of my heart. It's not pure. It's not to lead my kids into a life-giving relationship with Christ. It's to get an outcome. Here's the problem. I'm not responsible for an outcome. God is. When my life is submitted to Him, He's responsible for the outcome. I'm responsible for my obedience in the situation. And there's a lot of us walking around in with the title of Christian, but we don't act like Christ because we're too afraid. The Lord said, "Not my will, but yours be done." He didn't want to go to the cross. There wasn't a desire for Him to go to the cross. His desire was to be obedient to His Father, even unto death. And there are some of us in here that want obedience, but only if it doesn't cost me anything. Your obedience will always cost you something. That's why it's a sacrifice. That's why it's a sacrifice. If it doesn't cost me anything, I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it. So we're gonna live in such a way that we have self-awareness, that we recognize our situation. What I love about this particular situation is that Solomon says, "I am a child." Now, remember, he was not a child. He was probably in his 30s at this point in time. And he probably had his dad still around him. We don't know specifically, but he probably had his dad still around him. His dad appointed him prior to his death. And he probably had a team of advisors around him. Lots of wise people around him. And he could have relied on their understanding, other people's interpretation of the situation. Tell me what you think I should do in this situation. But instead he said, "Lord, I need you. I need your mind in this." Do we sit with the Lord long enough to get His mind on situations? Do we have self-awareness? Do we sit in His presence and say, "Lord, I'm feeling some kind of way. I can't lock in on why I'm feeling this way right now. What's going on inside of me so that I can react in a way that honors you instead of in a way that doesn't honor you?" That self-awareness is huge in this situation. Some of us in here are praying for spouses. We're praying for God to bless us with children. We're praying for promotions. But the problem is this: what if we just prayed, "Lord, give me wisdom in this situation so that when you do give me those blessings, I can hold them with the right heart?" What if that was our prayer? Not, "Lord, give me more stuff. Lord, can I get a promotion on my job? Lord, can you make me this?" If you want to know the content of your kid's heart, listen to their prayers. Listen to their prayers. What are they praying for? I'm not talking about little kids. Little buddies. Because the little buddies are praying for, "Lord, I just want a red truck. Lord, I just want a dolly." And that's great and that's wonderful. But as your kids get older, are we teaching them to pray, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, if it means I have to walk away from a situation that doesn't make sense, God, I know and I trust you that even if I'm alone, your grace is there." Are we teaching them that? That's a huge principle. I was on the phone with a candidate. Some of you know I'm a recruiter. I was on a phone with a candidate the other day, and she called me. We walked through the whole process. She got hired. She was awesome. She's amazing. She got hired. We offered her the job. And then she called me back and she said, "Hey, I got an email that said you guys are going to run a background check on me." And I said, "Oh yeah, that's standard. It's just, we have to." And she said, I'm a little nervous about that." I was like, "Oh gosh, okay." I was like, "All right, baby, tell me what's going on. Tell me where we're at right now." And she goes, "Well, I didn't do it, but I was with some people who did something. And I got charged because I was with them." Immediately, Proverbs came to my mind. And I thought, man, walk with the wise and become wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. And in that moment right there, I thought, dang it, who taught her? Who was teaching this baby? Stay away from the company of fools, because it only lands you in a place that doesn't bring honor, not only to God, but this was 2 years ago. This is 2 years later, and she's still suffering from that decision because she was with people, not even had done it herself. So self-awareness, we have to have self-awareness. All right, let's read Proverbs, because that's why we're here today, right? So Proverbs 1:1-6 says this. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Underline this. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. Key in on that, wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insight of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. My last point for us today is this. Are you disciplined? Are you disciplined? The very difference between someone that is the thing that separates the wise from the dumb is discipline. Discipline. Are you disciplined enough to walk out what you know? Are you disciplined enough to walk out what you know? Richie and I, you know this, we've been training for about, I don't know, since 2013 is when we started our business, in our garage, by the way. It's a real Steve Jobs moment for us. But we started training people right inside of our garage in 2013. And I can tell you without a doubt, in without a shadow of a doubt, 100% of the time when we train someone who has a goal, they never say to me, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Every single person without fail comes to us and says, I know I need to eat right and exercise. Every single person without fail says, I know I need to exercise and eat right. What they don't say is, I don't have discipline. That's what separates. Someone who can do it and someone who can't do it is discipline. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You can do whatever God has equipped you and called you to do. But are you disciplined enough to see the blessing on the other side of the pain? Because if you're not disciplined, you will walk around saying, God just doesn't want to bless me. He just doesn't want to give it to me. No, you don't want to sit with them long enough because he's spoken some very clear things to you, but they're hard and you don't want to walk them out. This is too hard, God. I don't want to walk it out. In the practical form, what it looks like is I got to get up at 5:30 a.m. and work out with my community because in my community, I know that there is accountability and I know that there are friends there and they're going to make it feel like it's not work to me. But in the short term, what that looks like is I've got to sit down and I've got to write out a list of what has he called me to do? What has he called you to do? Because for some of us, we don't understand. We haven't sat with him long enough for him to speak truth to us. Rich and I were talking about this the other day, and I don't honestly know why. I don't understand why. But I've never felt like in the years that we've been pastoring here, and just in general, because we've been pastors for 20 years now. We've been married 21 years of pastoring. And I can honestly say I've never felt like I do at this moment, where I feel like the enemy, in truth, is trying to put a noose around the neck of pastors. I feel it. I feel it like never before. Never before. And I feel that strength. I told Richie the other day, I said, I feel like I honestly have my hands around my neck and I'm like trying to push it out because I feel like he's trying to tighten a noose around the neck. to strangle out what God is doing. And those of you that don't know that our county is struggling with pastors right now, we are struggling. We need more men who are on the bench to get in the game, who live holy, godly, righteous lives that are gonna say, you know what, this is hard, but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna be obedient to what God has asked me to do. This is a hard place to be in. And if you think that it's easy to stand up here and share your whole life story and to be super vulnerable and not suffer the consequences of that, you are mistaken. We need to pray for pastors. Pray for your pastors. I'm not talking about Richie and I, because we got a huge team of people who fight for us and war on our behalf. And we know that. We feel it. But there are churches all over the world, all over our county, that are struggling right now. We got to be in the game. We got to be praying for these people, warring on their behalf. Fight for your people. Man, I feel that so strongly, because that picture of the enemy trying to take out pastors. Rich and I have been in hard seasons with pastors that have walked through hard things. And the fallout of that and the carnage of that is devastating. It is devastating. And we are not playing with people's lives. It's not just, oh, I made a decision. No, you are literally hurting people. We are going to, as a body of Christ, I'm telling you right now, the Community Chapel, we are going to be a body who stands up and lives holy and lives righteous lives. And if it means that we have to fight, if it means that we have to sacrifice, if it means, like Solomon, that we have to say, Lord, I'm a child in this situation. I have no understanding of what I'm looking at. I need your wisdom and your guidance. It's only in those situations, in those moments, where we're going to be able to see and rightly discern times and seasons. He's called us to do that. We can speak truth. This morning, Toby gave team rally from afar, from Tennessee. She gave her team rally today. And it was so encouraging how she talked about how God is using her to bring freedom to other people in their season. God has you where he has you for a reason. What you're struggling with right now, and the battles that you're fighting, and the war that you're waging inside and on the outside, the Lord is using that to point people to him. Right. You suffer different. Yeah. You suffer different because we suffer with hope. We know that he is our hope. Over the next 30 days, we want to give you guys a challenge. And I did ask Richie before I did this. I'm not rogue agent up here, just so you guys know. For the next 30 days, we want to encourage you guys in something and challenge you in something. There's five areas where we want you to specifically pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to do. The first is in your faith with the Lord. I believe he wants us to go to the next level. And I believe that's going to require a little bit more of us. So in that area of faith, what is he asking you to do? It might just be that in the morning on my commute to work, I'm not going to listen to anything but worship. I'm not going to make a phone call. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to get in the mind of Christ so that he can speak to me. For some of you, it could be that he wants you to spend some more time with him at nighttime. That was me this week. I told Richie, I said, I spend time with the Lord in the morning, but all of a sudden I feel like the Lord's like, at nighttime, I want you to open your Bible before you go to bed and read. And I'm like, I already, kind of do that in the morning. But I feel like it's because he's leading us somewhere. And am I willing to be disciplined enough to be obedient in that? The next step is fitness. And don't cross me off right here. Everybody in this room is like, forget it. I'm out. This is where I tap out. Fitness. I want us to think of fitness in the sense of taking care of our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, if there are things in my life that don't honor him and glorify him, if they're not fit, they don't help me stay fit, that I would shed those things away. For some of us, that does mean I might need to walk 30 minutes a day. That's the practical. I might need to walk 30 minutes or exercise or make a commitment. For 30 days, I'm gonna do this. But for some of you, it may be something that you've been struggling with. Something that you feel like, man, I want to not have this in my life anymore. Whatever it is, for the next 30 days, make a commitment and say, Lord, give me the grace to be able to walk out of this addiction. Give me the grace to be able to withstand this pressure. The third thing is fellowship. And I will tell you this, I'm not going to cry, but I am going to cry. I hate that. I have been praying for Maria to have a Spanish-speaking friend in our church since we were at North Shore. Last week, I saw her and Victoria sitting on the front row, chatting in Spanish. And it made my heart so happy because I thought, man, he sees. He sees. And it's little. I mean, she tries to, you know, we try to speak to her in Spanish. We're like, hola, mommy. You know, we don't, that's it. That's the extent of it. You know, like, we don't know. Richie knows more than me, you know. Lexi knows Greek, which doesn't help. So, but I love that. I loved seeing the two of them have fellowship because they have community, but they didn't really have fellowship. And now all of a sudden they have that together. They can share life together. They're both going to be mommies at the same time. And it's amazing how God does that. Enough crying. Okay, the next area is finances. Finances. What are you believing God for? In the next 30 days, would you be willing to sow a seed and say, Lord, I'm planting this seed in faith because I know that you are doing bigger things with me and bigger things with what you've put in my hand. Would you be willing to take another step? And listen, I'm not talking about just the community chapel giving to the community chapel. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in all areas of finance. Am I willing to say no to something because I want to live differently later? Bishop T.D. Jakes says that. You better drive like nobody else right now so that later on in life you can drive like nobody else. That's what he said. And it's Richie and I quote it all the time. Because what it means is, am I willing to take a little bit of a sacrifice right now so that later on in life I can live differently, comfortably? Am I willing to say no to TJ Maxx? Misty. So that later on we don't have to pay off a credit card bill. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Says the CPA back here. Last area is freedom and your freedom. Manage your freedom. Just because you can do something doesn't mean that it's beneficial for you. I can listen to secular music if I want to. I don't feel any kind of conviction about that. None. I don't feel any kind of conviction about secular music. However, what am I opening my spirit up to? What am I putting inside my ears that I might not be understanding, but it's planting a seed of desensitizing me towards things that the Lord really hasn't called me to? What about the movies that I watch? Listen, my kids are of age where they can watch PG-13 movies, but should they? You have to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I'm a child in this circumstance. I need your wisdom in this. My kids want to watch this movie, but I don't know why, but I don't feel right about them watching it. Am I okay if the Lord says, I don't want them watching that? Just protect them, protect their eyes, protect their ears. Am I okay with that? Protect your freedom. Protect their freedom. Because remember, they're following you. Who are you following? And does it lead people to Christ? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity today. Lord, we thank you for giving us the ability to not only rightly discern, but God, to have discipline in what you've called us to do. I thank you for this series. I thank you for the life that's going to be birthed out of this season. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Lord, that we would walk in a sense of discernment, that we would walk in understanding, God. I thank you that we don't have to walk in any kind of disillusionment, God, that we don't have to have foggy vision, Father God. I thank you that we can have clear thoughts. Lord, I pray that you would silence every voice of the enemy that would try to cause distraction, that would try to plant seeds of disunity. And God, I thank you for boldness to walk in truth, to walk in grace in this season of our lives. God, I specifically pray for every pastor in this county. I pray for every pastor in this nation, in this world. God, we pray that your hand of protection would be upon them. God, speak so clearly to them, Father God, that when they're headed in the wrong direction, Holy Spirit, put a team of people around them that can pull them out of that. God, we come against every assignment of the enemy against your church. Lord, I pray that we would not be bound. God, that we would live free lives, Father God, because you've called us to live in freedom. Yes. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that things that were in the darkness, God, that you're bringing them to the light. Lord, expose the darkness. Expose the motive, Father God, so that we can repent of it and so that we can seek you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that your church would not be powerless anymore. God, let an outpouring of your Holy Spirit come. Let the fire and the anointing of your presence saturate churches, saturate buildings. Father God, I pray that even in churches who don't speak truth anymore, God, I pray that you would position people, Lord, that you would commission people, God, that they would speak truth and it would start a spark, Father God. Lord, we ask that you take back your church, God. Take back your church. God, put conviction in our hearts so that we live differently, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. God, we are so excited about what you're going to do. Lord, find us saying yes.
Yes.
Find us saying yes, God. And Lord, we just come against right now every spirit of anxiety, every spirit of fear. Lord, we command it to go in the name of Jesus. Lord, your people will not live under anxiety. They will not live under the curse of fear, Father God, but that they will walk in faith. They will walk free in all that you've called them to do. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.